Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, Rangers. It's me, Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. It's 2024. Let's do this. Here's the credits, of course. Mike Rickberg sang that song at the beginning, and he wrote that song, and he sang it with Sarah Cohen, his wife. And he will sing the Mexican Hat Dance at the end of the program. Also, Patrick Brady, still putting this together. Video, audio, all of it. He's amazing. So, and Vilmos doing JackieCationStore.com. Squarespace is doing the regular Jackie Cation page, and I'm thinking of moving the Dork Forest and DorkForest.com away from WordPress because it's driving me nuts. But those are the credits. But if you go to JackieCation.com, you can get Dork Forest merch. You can get my stand-up merch. You can get my stand-up CDs and DVDs, which you'd have to have devices for those. You can also see videos and find out any number of things. I have another podcast called The Jackie and Laurie Show, but The Dork Forest is the flagship. 18th year, we're doing it, you guys. You can go to my Bandcamp or my YouTube for extra content. Please donate, is what I'm saying. It's 2024, and I think we've been in this long enough. Why don't you guys, everybody send me $100? That's what I'd like you to do. You can PayPal me. There's links all over the pages. You can Venmo me at Jackie Cation. You can find me at a stand-up show and hand me a sweaty wad of 20s. Do something. But I love doing the show. I would love to make some money, is what I'd like to do. In other news, I'm sure there's more things that I should talk about, but I can't think of them. But let's listen to who's going to dork out about something, because that's my favorite part. Thanks for listening, you guys. You're all great. Let's get into the show.
Hey, it's Jackie Cation. My hair is sticking up because of the headphones. Tune in into the YouTube, you guys. Rangers of the Dork Forest, welcome to the program. Returning to the program, one of my favorite people in the whole wide world, stand-up comic, and any number of things, quite honestly. He's constantly writing. He's always reading. Sometimes he's doing math. Victor Varnado, welcome back to the program.
I'm excited to be here.
Yes.
Love it.
yeah, so New York, for lo these many years, you've been a New York comic, and also living there and working out of there, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I've been in New York for, actually, we just figured it out recently. It's been almost 28 years. It'll be 28 years on August 27th.
Interesting. I will have been in Los Angeles for 28 years in January.
Oh, wow. There you go. Exactly. I think it's one of those things where we are at that point in our careers where we've been at it for 28 years in a different city.
Right. And right. I've never lived anywhere 28 years, quite honestly. So this is the longest I've ever lived anywhere. Very exciting. We are going to dork out because you could dork out. You are a diamond with many facets of dorkdoms. But the one I kind of liked was the comic book Invincible.
Yes,
and maybe the TV show, if you saw it.
Yes, I've rarely been in that position where something comes out and it gets that big media push where it's something that I know intimately. You know, that's a great place to be as a dork, you know, like where you know everything before everybody else knows anything. And they're just catching up and understanding how cool it is. I'm that way with Invincible and The Boys, of course, but I'm a big fan of alternate takes on superhero genres. And so I'd read every issue of both of them.
Wow. It's funny because, on a more finite level, The Lord of the Rings, at the end of the first Lord of the Rings movie, when it came out, 15 years ago, and people were like, or it might have been the second one, when Gandalf dies, I'm like, feel free to read the books. It's okay. And so here's the thing. I've probably read 100 issues of Invincible.
Okay.
And then I went lateral for some reason, and we stopped collecting it. I stopped reading it. Let's explain, first of all, it is about a young man who is growing up with his single mother. Is that correct?
Oh, no, they're married. It's a young man who is growing up with his mom and dad. And his dad is the world's Superman, called Omni-Man.
Omni-Man. And he is, yeah, he is essentially a Superman level character. And yes. And he has all of the powers, essentially, of Superman.
Except for heat vision. He does not have heat vision.
Noted. Omni-Man. And so... But
sorry, I'm pretty deep into this book, so.
No, that's good. And then, but just, yeah, because he's a teen, right? And he's an only child?
Yeah, he's a teen and he is an only child, yes. Well, at the beginning of the book. Later on, he has a little brother.
Okay. So, tell me, so when did it start? Like, it's been around at least 20 years, right? The guy, I forgot the guy's name who's written it. Who wrote it?
Robert Kirkman.
That's it, Robert Kirkman.
And Ryan Ottley is the main artist who also developed it.
Okay. Ottley. Okay. And is it Image?
Yep, it was Image.
Is Robert Kirkman the founder of Image? No.
Or he I don't was just think a big... he's one of the founders. No, I don't think so. I think the Image founders were like, you know, Liefeld and what's Mr. Spawn guy? The guy who made Spawn.
The guy who made Spawn. That's right.
Todd McFarlane. Okay. Yeah.
So Robert Kirkland has been writing this thing for at least 20 years, right? When do you think it came out?
I don't know. I don't know how long. Yeah. I don't know how long he wrote it for. I don't know exactly the date that it started. But we could easily Google that and find out the answer if we really wanted to.
Right. So what do you want to talk about? So tell me about it. I don't know anything about it.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So Invincible.
Dork out, man. Bring it.
Yeah, totally. So Invincible was great for its time. Two of the things that it did that were really great were, one, it really surprised everyone with the twist that happens in the first couple of books. The twist is well known now because it is now a TV show. So I'm going to tell you what the twist is.
Right. And this will be spoilery and it's okay. Cause you can read things after you know things and appreciate things. And it is out in the TV show. Yeah.
Yeah. And the twist happens in the very first episode of the TV show, by the way. So
of course
it's fine.
What's the twist?
The twist is that Mark is growing up with his dad, and then finally one day Mark develops superpowers because he was hoping to develop superpowers, and he develops superpowers, and then once he develops superpowers, his dad kills all the other main heroes on Earth, like just kills them. The biggest heroes on Earth, he just murders them because, surprise, his dad just came to Earth to see if he could breed with humans to make more super people so that he could then just take over the universe. His dad is part of a race called Viltrumites, and their deal is like, we want to take over the universe. There are not a lot of us, so we have to see if we can breed with people. He bred with a human, Mark's mom. And then as soon as he was like, oh, well, we can.
Right. I forget. Does Omni-Man what's his human name? What's his Omni-Man's? What's his dad's
Nolan.
Name?
Nolan. Oh,
that's right, Nolan. And does I was like, he was sort of like Ego in Marvel, right? Like he liked his mom, but she was more of just a vessel, right?
He did say that, like, so when Nolan and Nolan/Omni-Man decides like, hey, I'm going to take over the whole planet. Mark's like, no, the problem.
Right. This is where I grew up.
Yeah. He's like, no, we're not going to do that. And then they start having a fight. And then during the fight, Omni-Man does say that his mother is more like a pet. That's what he says.
Right. See, this
her name is Debbie,
been...
by the way.
Yeah, that's right. Nolan and Debbie, his parents. Her name's Debbie. That's such a great normal name. Yeah. That's right. Because the big twist is that he has been sent to take over Earth. I forgot that he murders all of, that's right. He's like, well, we don't need any other superheroes. Now I just need to bring all the people from Viltrumite or whatever. What's the name of the planet?
Viltrum. The Viltrumites come from Viltrum.
Oddly enough. And then, so do they then? Is that, or is it mostly the story of Mark and his dad fighting?
So Mark and his dad do fight, and his dad, the dad, like, just trounces Mark and beats him almost to death. And just before he's about to kill Mark, he flies away because he feels bad that he is beating his son to death.
Even though his son is the result of him mating with a pet.
Yes, what he called a pet. So he later comes back, Omni-Man later comes back and becomes a good guy because he's like, you know, that at that breaking point, he realized that he really did love Mark. He really did love Debbie. And so he eventually comes back and is a good person. And he has to rekindle everything with Debbie because she heard him call her a pet. So,
right. That's going to be a problem. So, but there was, so I did look it up and it started in 2003.
Okay.
Which is weird because that's when I started reading comic books. I had read comic books a little bit in junior high. And then I met Andy Ashcraft in 2003. And then we moved in I really started in 2004, a little bit in 2003. But in 2004, we moved in together and he would leave comic books around.
Mm-hmm.
And comic books can be consumed in 20-minute increments. So I started just reading the comic books that were sitting around. And then all of a sudden, I was reading comic books.
Well, then what was the first one? Because like you said, you started. And then like at one point you had to be like, what are these comic books? I'll give one a shot. What does this one say? And what was that book?
It was very much like, I don't know if you ever saw Welcome Back, Kotter. But in Welcome Back, Kotter, there was, he was talking about drug abuse and how in his case, someone offered him his first potato knish. And I will say this, that Andy Ashcraft's first potato knish with me was an Alan Moore series called Top. It was about animals. It was like a sort of a procedural. So Top something.
Oh, wait, it Alan was a procedural. Moore. It was like a cop show, but anthropomorphic characters.
Yes. And it's Top 10. It was called Top 10. And it was
I heard of it. Definitely.
It was about a police force that was on a planet where absolutely everyone had superpowers, including very, very lame superpowers. And so there were different the different cops had different, like one cop their superpower was that they had the name of the character, I think, was Toy Box.
Mm-hmm.
And he or she, I can't remember, had a box that could send out toys. And this was before that movie about toys that had come to life, the army toys. So Alan Moore has been hacked a great deal. Let us just say that out loud. And, Top 10 was the first one. And because I liked Top 10 so much, the next one was Lucifer.
Uh-huh.
And that was, I think, Mike Carey. Is that right?
I don't know.
And then it was Sandman.
Okay.
So it was, and Sandman was hundreds of, and then he tried to get me to read Cerebus. He was like, I want you to read Cerebus until the guy who wrote Cerebus went nuts and became a weird Nazi. But before that, he was great.
Yikes.
So those were in 2004, those were the ones. But Invincible was also another one. That was one of the first ones he gave me as well. And he was like, you're behind, but only about, I don't know, maybe 24 issues. So he handed me, I was only behind about a year or two
mm-hmm.
by the time he gave me Invincible. Yeah.
Yeah. Invincible was great. I mean, it did have one section where I was like, this sucks, but I kept trudging through it because I wanted to get to the end. And the section that I hated was that at one point they did like a whole section where Mark went back in time and had a chance to like redo everything. And I was just like, I hate that. Weird. I just hate stuff like that. And then he came back to the present, of course, but it was just like a whole section just didn't matter. Like it doesn't matter.
Do you think when writers do that, they regret what they've written?
I don't
and they
even,
want to sort of retcon it? Or
I don't even know. I mean, I think that I don't know what the purpose of it was. There was a result. There was a result, a consequence for going back in time, which is when he came back to the future, many years had passed and he'd missed his daughter growing up.
Oh, that actually sounds like a Robert. Is Robert Kirkman still writing it? Or did he finish it?
Not anymore. It's finished. Yeah.
Okay. Do you think that Robert Kirkman regretted not being there for his daughter to grow up or his kids to grow up?
Is that that happened?
I don't know, but I always feel like whenever anybody writes anything, and and granted, for me, it's stand-up, but I always think, yeah, you're also talking about yourself, whether or not it's fiction or not.
Yeah.
There is part of you in every story you write. And so either you fear that you're not there for your kids enough, or you aren't there for your kids enough. And it came out. So I stopped reading it when he was just dating. So I don't know how long, when Mark was just, he had a girlfriend.
Yeah, he had a girlfriend. And then his girlfriend, he has had two girlfriends. The one that stuck was, her name was Eve. And she had powers where she could just manipulate matter. And she could manipulate inorganic matter, except when she would almost be close to death, and then her powers would flip on, and she could manipulate organic matter, and she would always save herself. Which was great, because in the end, they found out that she was mostly almost immortal, but so is Mark. So perfect match.
Right, right, very perfect match. And then they had a kid.
I'd
say. And is that kid superpowered as well?
The kid is superpowered. And I forget what her name was. She appeared like right at the end of the book. It was just like,
okay.
Her name is Tara, actually. I remember. Her name is Tara.
Okay.
They named her after Earth because they moved from Earth to have her.
I'm going to name my first kid Minneapolis.
Ah, good idea. So.
So Viltrum, was she from Viltrum?
So they moved to a different planet. I forgot what the name of the planet was. Like, it was part of the coalition of planets. And they moved to this planet because Earth was getting too crazy. Because at one point, now this is, if you are watching the show right now, the show has not gotten to this point that I'm about to say that the comic books have gotten to. So, because the comic books are finished, like it's done. So In the show, there's a character called Robot. Okay.
Okay.
Breakdown of Robot is a robot. And at one point it's revealed that he's not actually a robot. He is a disfigured man who's piloting a robot remotely and being a superhero. And then point he clones one of the other people he clones one of the other people in the Guardians of the Globe. He does. And he clones one of the other people, Rexplode. He clones Rexplode. Younger, and then puts his mind in that body and then becomes an active member where he actually dresses up in a robot suit because he's one of the smartest people who's ever lived. And so this is what he does. He makes robots and clones people and whatever. So one
what
day
happens
he says,
to the original Rexplode? Quick question.
The original Rexplode is very pissed that he cloned him because he didn't do it with his permission.
This is non-consensual cloning, which is one of the reasons why cloning is illegal. It's not the only reason.
And then and at one point during a war, Rexplode dies.
Oh, that gets him out of the way, leaving our new Rexplode, who's called Robot.
Yeah, this is Robot. And then Robot, being the smartest person in the world, decides at one point, you know what? I should just take over the world. And he does. and he's smart enough to take over the world, fight off Invincible and everybody. And then so an Invincible figures out that, like, hey, the world is actually running better with Robot in charge. And most of the regular people in the world don't even know Robot's in charge. And he does, in fact, make the world better. And so, but because he took it over by force, Invincible's like, I'm not standing for this. And he and Eve move. They move from Earth to
is
the other
that
planet.
White flight? What is that?
I don't know. It was just like they move. They're like,
his ego couldn't take it. The fact that he had literally taken, that robot had taken over the world, made it better. And had also beaten Invincible, because didn't Invincible, and that's Mark's name, right? Isn't that his code name? Or
yes, his code name is Invincible.
Right. So his his superpower is sort of like his dad's, right? He's like a Superman character?
Yep, exactly.
And so do you think that he was just mad that he couldn't make the world better? And Robot was like, so what? Because he fought crime, right?
Right. I don't think that Invincible was mad that he couldn't make the world better. I think he was mad that Robot took the world over by force. So although the public of the world didn't know that he was in charge, all the governments knew because he had them, you know,
He was in charge of
basically at gunpoint. Yeah.
Right. But he had beaten Invincible to do this.
Yes.
And so Invincible, instead of still fighting for this, he just said, okay, fine, you can have it. And
well,
went to another planet.
He couldn't beat Robot.
Right.
He couldn't beat Robot.
And he didn't want to live under Robot's rule.
Right. He couldn't beat Robot. He didn't want to live under Robot's rule. He couldn't convince enough people to go up against the robot.
Okay.
So he left.
Wow. The thing is, now we're not in the part of the TV show, right? We're past the TV show.
Robot has not shown an inkling of wanting to take over the world. hasn't happened yet.
Right. So the comic still continued with Invincible and Eve on this other planet.
Correct.
And what did they do on... Yeah.
And then while he was... So bear in mind, okay? So while all of this is happening, also the Viltrumites are out there, okay? Just an entire society of superpowered people, okay?
Right.
Led by this guy named Thrag.
Okay.
And Thrag is like the grand emperor of the Viltrumites and a badass, and he looks like Freddie Mercury. And
awesome.
And he looks like Freddie. It's really funny. He looks like a jacked up Freddie Mercury.
That's awesome.
And so that is still a threat, even to Robot.
Okay.
The Viltrumites. Because what Thrag is doing is Thrag went on a planet where there's like these bug people that also Viltrumites can breed with. And so they have like millions of babies. So he is just going to town on all the women bug people and making
an army.
He's making an army. Yes.
Wow. Okay. That's actually pretty cool. In the way that, I mean, as a bad guy, that is, that's what he wants. You want to find And do the Viltrumites look like humans?
They all look like humans, except for the bug people Viltrumites who have purple skin.
Okay, but still humanoid.
Still humanoid. Exactly.
Okay. And, this is interesting. Now, when Mark and Eve move to the other planet, do they move there to be superheroes? Like, what do they end up doing on the other planet?
Mark works for the Coalition of Planets. He's just like one of the most powerful beings in the universe. So he does stuff for them. He goes on. He's basically like space cop for them.
Okay. So he's an enforcer, space cop, Green Lantern-y kind of dude.
And in one of his trips, that's when he accidentally went through time and then came back when his daughter was older.
Okay. And that's near the end of the run. That is near the end of the run
because the run ends. What happens next, in very broad strokes, obviously,
because
this is a saga of many issues. In very broad strokes, Thrag becomes a super threat. So Invincible has to team up with Robot. Invincible has to team up with Robot to fight Thrag. Mm-hmm. Invincible has a fight with Thrag in the sun.
In the sun.
They go into the sun and they duke it out because it's the only thing that is going to rip them apart. Robot is on Invincible's side at this point because he doesn't want Earth to go down. Invincible kills Thrag in the sun.
Okay.
Right at the last minute, Robot sends a suit of his armor to protect Invincible so he doesn't also get burned away.
Okay.
Invincible comes out with Robot. They're like, job well done. Invincible's like, yes, job well done. Punches through and kills a robot because he has a real robot there for the first time, and he kills him. And he just takes advantage of the moment and kills a robot. Then
is very morally ambiguous. Yes.
Then they save Robot's brain and put Robot in a jar so that he can still run things on Earth, but he just isn't like a tyrant. But they're keeping a lot of things that he has instituted. And then
including
Robot
his
as a
brain.
Yeah. And and Robot as a brain says, it's actually probably better this way that I'm a brain in a jar because I don't have the same like, you know, emotions and shit that make me crazy and that megalomaniac. Right. I'll help. And that's
okay.
And then that's pretty much that's where the book ends, where Robot's like, OK, I'll be a brain in a jar and I'll help. And Invincible is now the new leader of the Viltrumites, having killed Thrag.
Okay, and so now that he's the leader of the Viltrumites, does he wish to say, we don't need to take over the universe, we can just have our own planet? Because the Viltrumites are all sad because there's not enough Viltrumites, is that it?
Right, but he helps them.
How many Viltrumites were there?
I think there
when Omni-Man...
Well, when it started, there were just like, I think there were just like maybe 100 or more left of Viltrumites.
Right. Just then, dozens. Okay.
But then now they started breeding. And then they also found out that when they interacted with humans, they developed human-like emotions. So a lot of the Viltrumites would come to Earth and then be like, I want to be a softy. And then it would be softies.
And did they come to Earth and become softies?
Oh, yes. Yes, they did. They came to Earth and became softies. And then Mark used it's actually the last book is great. Because it keeps fast forwarding to what happened next. So you get to see like all of everybody's wrap up stories. That was a great way to end the series. You know, like where they do the still frames and the text at the end of movies, like this character went on to that. Except they were little comic stories about each what happened to everybody, which is great.
Okay. Oh, that and is cool.
Yeah, I loved it as an ending where you really got to see.
Right, because and have you seen any interviews with Robert Kirkman about the series? Have you followed anything? Like, what does he think of the series? Do you know?
He thinks very highly of the series. Actually, to be honest, I'm not a big fan of Robert Kirkman interviews. I don't think I like him personally.
Well, he sounds very morally ambiguous because he comes in and it's just like, the first thing he does, if Nolan kills all of the other superheroes, and then Nolan's sad because he has human emotions, one of which is being a psychopath, by the way. That is one of our emotions that we get. And so Nolan flies away. He comes back after Mark is it been a couple of years that he comes back, that Nolan comes back?
You mean when he comes back as a good guy?
Yeah.
It doesn't take a couple of years. It actually took like a year. And then Nolan sends for Mark by tricking him to coming to the planet of the bug people. So Nolan was the first to go to the planet of the bug people.
And just looking for some action, Nolan. Always.
Well, he went to the planet of the bug people because when he left Earth fighting Mark, he saw a space vessel in jeopardy, and then he helped that space vessel because he just felt like it, and that was the bug people. And then he went to live with them because he was like, he started a new life where he was just benevolent and nice to everybody.
Oh, okay. And, but he was also one of the, he's willing to try to have, sex with different species. He's also a pretty good sport when it comes to being that guy. So he goes to town with just one bug person,
He goes to town with one bug person and has one child. Which ends up being Mark's little brother.
Oh, and so he sends that bug boy to Earth? Or he brings him to Earth?
He's living on, Nolan is living on the planet with the bug people. Then he sends a bug person back to Earth to tell Mark, hey, our planet is under attack. Please come save us. And then Mark agrees to come save them. And he comes, they're surprised. They're not under attack, but Nolan is their king. And then Mark is like, I'm mad at you. And he's like, I get it. You're mad at me. I'm so sorry. Also, here's a new little brother. He needs to live with you. These people, the bug people, they live for weeks. I live for centuries. You need to take this little baby who's going to live more like a human-ish lifespan and take him to Earth, please. Also, this baby is purple.
And this baby is purple. And then how's Debbie with him bringing him a baby home?
She does not like it at first, but of course likes babies. So
because she is a lady and ladies love babies.
So and the baby wins her over.
So what's the thing that made you keep reading it, that made you really just like sort of, you're like, I love this story. And much like the boys, because they're anti-heroes. They're incredibly flawed, but they want the best in the end, right? So what is it about this one that you like about this story?
I can tell you the number one reason why I kept reading it was Ryan Ottley's art. That dude is amazing. Oh. He's great. Yes, that was the number one reason. I don't know, like in my mind's eye, what superhero comics should be, that's how he draws. Then number two,
is it just dynamic or is
it super dynamic? The characters are really interesting to look at. They have interesting weight, really good angle choices, funny, crazy gore when it's time for gore.
He does do a lot of gore. If I remember correctly, it was super bloody.
Yes.
He doesn't have a problem with a blood pattern, like a blood splash. That guy can draw a blood splash like nobody's business.
Exactly. He has no problem drawing lots and lots of gore. Anyway, so then that was, I mean, that it was great. It was just like a lot of fun, this comic book. And then with the art. And then the second thing is the writing was a lot of fun. It was just like a blast to see where things would go with the idea that like what would happen if superheroes were more morally gray, and like what is that story about, and then also what would happen if Superman was evil. So there's a lot.
right So yeah, it was just sort of, and I don't know when that Mark Waid, do you know when Incorruptible or Irredeemable came out? Did it come out at that same, I don't know if there's been other Superman went evil. I remember Red Sun, remember that?
Right, but that wasn't necessarily evil Superman. That was just Superman.
That was just raised in the Soviet Union.
Yes, Russian Superman. Yes.
Yeah. So,
I mean, there of course is the what do they call the Mortal Kombat universe? The Mortal Kombat DC universe. Superman's evil.
Okay.
I don't know what that is, but that's one universe where Superman is evil, like straight up evil. Oh.
The Mortal Kombat.
Yes, Mortal Kombat and Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe was a video game.
Yes, I played that.
And then it was so popular that they came out with one that was just DC Universe people fighting each other. And for that game, I forget what it was called. We probably Google it and find out. But that for that game, they made a storyline where Superman becomes evil. And then they released a bunch of comic books backing up that storyline, which turned out to be really good. And so it continued and still does to this day.
Oh, evil. And who wrote that?
The evil Superman? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know who wrote it.
And it's in DC canon.
It is in DC canon. It is one of the multiverses.
Okay. Let's see, Batman, Superman, this is the best evil Superman ever. What year did it start? Rangers, how psyched are we? By the way, I'm talking with Victor Varnado, which his Instagram is Roboto Supremo, R-O-B-O-T-O-S-U-P-R-E-M-O. And you have a new video game. Like, you have a video. Tell people about highscoregamearcade.com.
Yes, highscoregamearcade.com. So I do have a new video game. I release video games and put them out on the in the World Wide Web so people can play them and compete for high scores and win money. It's totally free. I talk sponsors into sponsoring it. So just go and play and have fun. Most recently, I released a video game called Fruits and Dragons, which is part Dungeons and Dragons with fruit as the heroes and part Candy Crush. It's both a puzzle and an adventure game.
Okay.
Yes. It is a puzzle, and you match three to make the story go forward and things to happen with your hero. And you fight dragons a lot.
But it's and it's skinned with dragons and fruit.
It's original. Like, it's an original game. I didn't just skin a game. I made a game from scratch.
Right, but it's a match three kind of game, like Bejeweled or Candy Crush or that kind of thing.
Yes.
And it powers up the fruit superheroes.
Yes.
You fight the dragons.
And you do and that, fight dragons. That, there's lots of dragons. There's like seven different kinds of dragons.
Well, I wish to play Fruits of Dragons.
The hero characters are the Banana Knight, the Apple Archer, the Strawberry Wizard, the Grape Barbarian, and of course, the Royal Watermelon.
Ah, finally, the Royal Watermelon. Striped, green. Very beautiful. It's I have tried to Google, by the way, the first evil Superman, and all that came up was Bizarro Superman from 1958. So
Bizarro
that's
Superman.
That's not who you're talking about.
No, I'm talking about Superman. What is the universe called where they have a name for the universe, and I just don't remember what the name for that particular universe is, but it started with Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe. And then that led to the DC Universe universe, which is Evil Superman. But I don't know what they call that universe.
It's not Crisis on Two Earths, is it?
No, it is not Crisis on Two Earths. That is a great movie adaptation of Crisis on Infinite Earths, but that is not it. That's Owlman.
Okay, so and leader that is Owlman of the crime Ultraman. Syndicate.
That's a crime syndicate. So that's like a different genre. The crime syndicate is a different thing. The evil Superman in that one is Ultraman.
Okay.
Who is, by the way, susceptible, I think, to lead.
Oh, interesting. And did you enjoy that one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
If you want to talk about DC animated movies, we could go on for days.
Right. Well, I'm just curious about the what you seem to really enjoy, because The Boys is like this too, where it is people with superpowers that don't use their powers for good, but they're the main character, right?
Yes. People with superpowers that don't use their power for what? Go ahead.
Because isn't that what The Boys is? Is there just bad guys, right?
Yes. Well, The Boys is a show where all superheroes, except for a very small portion, are just straight up evil. And The Boys, it's just like every person who has superpowers is a bully. And so that's what The Boys is about. It's about this guy named Billy Butcher, who unfortunately his wife was assaulted by that world's Superman.
Okay.
And ever since then, Billy Butcher has been hunting down and trying to kill as many superpowered people as possible.
And Billy Butcher is not superpowered?
He is in the comic book, The Boys, he is superpowered. And in the TV show, The Boys, he just became superpowered, but he was not powered for 3 years.
Three seasons.
Well, in the third season, he was powered sometimes because they had temporary superhero juice that they would drink.
Okay. Oh, I see. Like the mutagen. Okay. And in the book, The Boys, which I read the first, I think I read the first trade, and it was right. So he was attacked. It was sort of a Punisher kind of vibe to it, if I remember correctly, where he was then avenging his wife or girlfriend or whoever.
Wife. And yeah, he's avenging his wife.
And did he end up killing some superpowered people?
In the comic book, yes, he killed them all.
Oh, did he?
Not all of them. But he killed a lot of them, including Homelander.
Who was the one who had attacked his wife?
Exactly.
Homelander. What was Homelander's powers?
Superman.
Oh. How do you as a non-powered or as a non-Superman character kill a Superman level power?
Well, in the comic book, he had taken this drug called V, which gives him superpowers for one.
Right.
And then two, he manipulated Homelander into a fight with someone as strong as Homelander.
Okay.
And then after that fight with someone as strong as Homelander, then...
Oh, he was weakened.
Right. What he found out that Homelander, although super evil, was not the one who assaulted his wife. It was a clone of Homelander. yeah.
Okay.
Called Black Noir.
Okay.
It was a clone of Homelander called Black Noir. In the TV show, Black Noir is not a clone of Homelander. In the comic book, Black Noir was a clone of Homelander. And would go out and do things, but then they would share memories. So Homelander was evil in the book, but not as evil as he thought, because all the most evil things he was doing were done by this clone, and they would share memories.
Okay.
So Billy Butcher finds out that his wife was assaulted by the clone, manipulates the clone and Homelander into a fight. Homelander dies. The clone is still alive. And on the White House lawn, Billy Butcher takes a crowbar and rips his skull open.
And that will do it. Now how does he get to rip open the skull of a Superman-like character? Like, you would think he would be invincible, but he had been weakened by that.
He'd been weakened by the fight. Billy Butcher also had superpowers because he'd been taking V.
He'd been jacked.
So these two Superman characters had beaten each other almost to death, and one had died. And then Billy Butcher comes in after the fight and kills what's left of Black Noir.
So is Billy Butcher our hero in The Boys?
Yes. He's definitely an anti-hero, though. In fact, he's often doing things where his other teammates are like, "What? Billy? No, that's bad." And he's like, "Oi, Mike, that's what you gotta do to win the game." Oi. He's also Scottish, or
he has some sort of wow. You'll know that Victor Varnado doesn't do accents. And
what are you talking about? He's Scottish. It's a Scottish. Somebody pass me a haggis.
And it turns out Victor Varnado should be cast as the new Popeye. but other than that. So who's the rest of now? He has a team. Billy Butcher has a team.
They are the boys.
I thought he was off killing the boys.
Butcher's team is called the boys.
Okay.
And the boys,
but they
kill
all
suits.
Have superpowers.
In the comic book, they all have superpowers. Yes.
And in the TV show, do they have superpowers?
They did not when the TV show started. As the TV show has moved forward, each of them have, I think, taken the temporary superpower stuff. The only one who has permanent superpowers right now is, I forget her name. Her name in the show, I think, is Yukiko. But see, in the original book, The Boys, they changed her original name because it was pretty demeaning. So it was all guys and the boys except for one woman, and they just called her the woman of the species, and that was her name.
Okay.
So they were like, let's update this. And so now in the show, I think it's Yukiko.
Who wrote The Boys?
Garth Ennis, I believe, wrote The Boys.
I've read a fair amount of Garth Ennis. That's interesting. Okay. Have you, so the premise of The Boys, whether it especially the comic books, is that someone who isn't powered is going around killing superpowered people because all the superpowered people in that world are just bullies. There are no heroes. Okay. Exactly. So he creates a team of people that aren't superpowered, but can take a drug to become more powerful.
Yes.
To fight the superpowered bullies of their universe.
Correct.
Do they, how does that go? Are they lauded by the American public? Are people psyched about The Boys?
No, they don't even know they exist. So when they start, they're actually like a covert CIA team.
Okay.
And then the superheroes, their public persona is squeaky clean, Disney.
Okay.
And so they don't know how bad the superheroes are.
Ah. Oh, so the superheroes are sold as superheroes.
Yes.
But
and the company
they're doing
Vought,
on their okay, Vought.
The company Vought that makes the V, they're the public the PR company also for all the superheroes, and they sponsor them and whatever and turn them into products. And then right, they want them to be lauded.
Right. So they're also in the procurement industry or the cleanup industry of when the superheroes do something horrible.
Yes.
The PR company comes and does cleanup and so that no one knows that they're actually bad guys.
Exactly right.
Okay.
Exactly.
And so the boys are a covert team going, this isn't cool that they get to be superheroes. When Billy Butcher kills Black Noir on the lawn of the White House.
Yes.
Is Billy Butcher, is anybody psyched about that? Is anybody?
Well, at that point, they're very psyched about it because the reason that he killed him on the lawn of the White House, because at one point, Homelander, being so crazy, is like, you know what? I'm going to take over the world, and then attacks the White House and starts killing people. So at that point, everybody's like, oh, superheroes are terrible.
Okay, so they eventually, in the arc, it is revealed that Vought is hiding all of this information, and the superheroes are actually bad guys.
Yes.
Okay, do Billy Butcher and the boys then become the superheroes of the or the heroes of the of in the public eye?
No, they do not. They continue to be covert people.
Okay. What happens next? Is that one done too? Did they finish that?
The boys comic ended after Homelander and Black Noir were killed. I think there have been like one shot stories, random stuff,
right?
Because there's all of these. So in the boys world, all of the different organizations were also parodies of things in other comics. Like they had, you know, a group, I think it was called like Teenage Kicks or something like that, which was like a parody of Teen Titans. And other groups. I may be getting them wrong because both The Boys and Invincible have parodies of different teams. Both of them have parody names with teen in them. So I don't know I'm not sure exactly which one it's coming from, but yeah, then sometimes they would do offshoot books of those stories. Like one offshoot was called Herogasm, which is a big orgy that the heroes would get up to every year.
It's a con. Just a convention.
Pretty
where
much.
Heroes would come and they'd get to just kind of bang each other. Interesting. Wow. Well, because because there's also like Irredeemable and Incorruptible, which is the Mark Wade, and there's only two trades. I don't think that they were ever flimsies, right? I don't think that they were ever individuals. They might have been, but I didn't read them as such.
And, yeah, I think they were published first as a series, but then,
collected as a trade. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that one, I remember, did you read those? Did you get to read those ones?
Yes, I read them both.
And did you read the Pulitzer Prize winning book about the Kavanaugh book? Was it Kavanaugh? about the creation of Superman?
No.
Pulitzer. Talk amongst yourselves, everybody. I'm Googling something.
Pulitzer Prize-winning book about the creation of Superman.
Yeah, Kevin, maybe. Here's the good news. If you're still listening on an iPad, you're yelling. what was it? It was about in the 1930s, the creation of Superman. And I read it because Andy said that it was, and I read it in the middle 2000s because Andy said it was so good. And I was like, it was good, but it was very dark and kind of sad. And I was like, what did you think of it? And he said, oh, I never read it. And it actually vaguely infuriated me that I had been forced to read a really smart book written that won a Pulitzer Prize. And let's see.
Wait, Pulitzer was it a comic book?
About comic books. No. The Amazing Adventures of Cavalier and Clay by Michael Chabon.
And I've heard of that.
Yes, it is an amazing book. And it's about the amazing adventures of Cavalier and Clay creating the Superman character. And
that's amazing. And also, while you were Googling that, I also Googled the universe, which is evil Superman in it. It's called the Injustice Universe. Injustice Gods Among Us. So after Mortal Kombat versus DC, they made a new video game called the Injustice game, which was only DC characters. And that spawned the Injustice Universe.
Okay. Wow. So, and that is still in canon with an evil
Superman. Yes, the Injustice Universe still exists. And they made a video game in the Justice Universe, and that also spawned comic books, which also spawned a DC animated movie.
Right.
So
it's just about bad guy Superman, and
it's about that whole. About the whole DC universe, the bad guy Superman DC universe. Yes.
And what is that like? Besides, obviously, very painful for regular people.
Well, sadly, Superman went evil because the Joker went to Metropolis, used fear toxin to make him think Doomsday was attacking. Superman grabbed Doomsday and flew Doomsday into space. Turns out that the fear toxin and the kryptonite made him think that Lois Lane, his pregnant wife, was Doomsday. She dies in space. The Joker also had a trigger attached to her heart. So when her heart stopped beating, it blew up a nuclear bomb in Metropolis. So Superman flew Lois to space unbeknownst to himself. And then the moment he realized she dies, he sees on Earth Metropolis blow up with a nuclear bomb.
And the Joker's drives him mad.
And the Joker is like, well, it doesn't drive him mad at first. He's just like, I'm going to kill the Joker. So he goes down to Earth, and Batman's like, whoa, 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 easy, dude. Don't kill the Joker. And Superman's like, nah, I'm killing the Joker. And he kills the Joker. Then eventually he starts doing other extreme things, which lead him down a very bad path.
Right, right. In Irredeemable, what makes Superman snap, if I remember correctly, was some incel just making fun of his outfit. Because it turns out Superman has super hearing, and can hear every lame comment about him on the planet. And so eventually he's just like, you people do not deserve me at all. And so he kills, 2.7 billion people in a temper tantrum.
Yeah, he kills a lot of people.
Yeah, and then all of the superheroes left have to join up to try to kill Superman. And Incorruptible is about a supervillain who hears about what Superman character does. And the first scene of Incorruptible is the supervillain whose superpower is he becomes more powerful the longer he stays awake. It's such a weird superpower.
But it's I thought it was great. Like, I read these two. Yeah, I thought it was great.
Yeah.
I think that's just such a great idea.
The staying awake thing, or?
Well, he's tougher the longer he stays awake.
Yeah. But the first scene is he's having sex with a 15-year-old, and he sees on TV that the Superman character has lost his mind. And mm-hmm. he's like, well, I guess I have to become a good guy. You're going to have to leave. This is not something that good guys do. So it's been great. And he sends her out into the world. And then they all gather together. And I do like the denouement of incorruptible, like an irredeemable, the way what it turns into, you know, because he's irredeemable and the bad guy's incorruptible, but they do eventually, spoiler alert, defeat the bad guy Superman.
Yep.
But they, there's what I like about Mark Waid is that there's always a bit of hope at the end of it. Do you find Okay. Yeah, because you don't remember that?
I remember a lot of it, but yeah. I would reread them. Like, I don't remember them as vividly as I remember, you know, stuff that happened in Invincible and The Boys.
I think you've read a lot of these, the Boys and the and Invincible. Those ones, they don't sound like is there in the denouement, is there anything redeemable at the end of it? Does anything good come out of, I suppose, Robot? I mean, if Robot's in a jar and the good things that he did create on Earth do continue to exist after his defeat.
Right. The end of Invincible is very hopeful. The end of The Boys is not. The end of The Boys is just like, you know, well, there's always going to be more crazy superheroes.
What do you get out of reading these? One of the things I've learned doing the Dork Forest is that, like, and this was revealed to me when I did something around Halloween. I do a lot of horror, right? A lot of episodes about horror movies and stuff. And somebody finally told me that what they really enjoy about horror movies is that it's cathartic, that it's a way to sort of relive trauma and be scared and know it's not real. Just sort of process those emotions by watching incredibly scary, tense movies or whatever. What do you think you get out of watching and reading about antiheroes? If anything, I mean, like, what do you truly enjoy? I mean, what makes it funny and interesting and smart? And
I'm a very big put myself in that person's shoes sort of person. Like, when I read books, I'm always like imagining myself in that situation. If I were pushed that far, what would I do? And so I especially like it when the books are written with real decisions. Like, if you had this kind of power, let's make a real decision. I mean, because, like, you know, the way Superman is depicted, it is right. Not a real decision. Batman, not real decisions, you know? So I like it.
There's no conflict. They are such good people that they don't ever feel the temptation, or they don't ever act like Superman doesn't kill. Batman doesn't kill.
Right. Superman kills rarely.
Okay.
He does kill rarely, but I feel like Batman should have died many times over. Also, he should name everything after Bat. I think it's so funny that everything is named after a bat. And I also think of the hubris of putting on a costume. I just think about that a lot. Like,
okay,
who wants to put on a costume, much less a costume with the first letter of your assumed name on it? Like, what kind of person is doing that?
So you are drawn to the, like, the giant ego that is.
I'm drawn to people who write that those people that do that are extremely flawed, because they are.
You know, that's fascinating, because, yeah, I mean, to have that kind of power, I mean, obviously it's a Spider-Man with great power comes great responsibility kind of moment, right? Where you could abuse that power. And I mean, this is a stretch.
Here's the worst part, though. This is the worst part.
Yeah.
All superheroes stink. They must stink to high, like, physically stink. I'll tell you why.
Physically smell.
Yeah, they must physically smell, because they're not all millionaires. And no matter how much you wash a costume, if you wear that every day and do gymnastics in it every day, it's going to stink. So they all probably smell just like homeless derelicts, except for Iron Man, who has air conditioning in his outfit.
And I would posit that also Batman, who has a row of different costumes, much like uniforms, and a butler to hose everything off.
So Batman probably is rich enough not to stink. Yes. He is rich enough not to stink.
Spider-Man has one outfit.
Spider-Man has like one outfit, maybe a couple, but he's also always doing gymnastics. And he stinks. He's got to stink. And then all the other people, like Green Arrow, stinks. I mean, he's also rich too, but in general, I think the Flash, oh my God. he probably melts people's faces when he walks into a room.
You don't think the Flash is going through a car wash? He could just flash through a car wash or flash through.
I think that he could be soapy for the first couple of times, but if you've got a very specialized suit that you have to wear for years and run in it, he stinks. His shoes? Oh, his boots? Oh my gosh, they must be crazy smelly.
All right, this has been a hot take on the point and purpose of superheroes. All right, absolute power can corrupt absolutely, and you gotta fight it. You gotta fight it. Look at J.K. Rowling, Mad-Eye Moody. She created Mad-Eye Moody, and yet constant vigilance seems to have escaped her. Anyway, that's not how I want to end it. Is there anything you'd like to say as a closing thing, Victor?
Yeah, I think that if you haven't read Invincible, it is a good time, especially the first issues of the series are just amazing. It just starts off really, really, it's just great. It is amazing storytelling, a really fun time. I highly recommend it. I also recommend the cartoon, which is a lot of fun. Especially there's a one shot episode about Adam Eve that you can watch on Amazon Prime, which is great.
Okay. Note to self, you guys, I've been talking with Victor Barnato. It is Robot Supremo, R-O-B-O-T-O.
Roboto Supremo, yeah.
Roboto, thank you. And it'll be in the notes, R-O-B-O-T-O. Supremo. And if you go to highscoregamearcade.com, you could play video games and
play Fruits and Dragons and tell me what you think. Like, have a really good time. We were sponsored by 99 Brand. They've been really nice enough to let me do this and give away prizes. So they're great. So let's all
play games and enjoy ourselves.
Let's all play games and win money.
All right. And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
Hi, Adal. How was the show?
It was fascinating. Victor Varnado. You remember Victor Varnado?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, he, good comic, New York comic, but also many different fingers. He loves to work in different genres and different...
Does a lot of voice acting. He acts. Yeah.
Right. And he has a website where he makes video games called highscoregamearcade.com.
That's awesome.
And what he's done is it's kind of like Marvel Puzzle Quest. It's a match three, but you fight dragons and you get to pick, and you're a fruit. It's a fruit based hero. Like you're an apple archer. Or a watermelon hero or a I don't know, a banana hero. Like sure. You get to pick your hero and then you match three and then you power up your things and then you fight a dragon.
Oh, that's
so fun. Yeah, it's called I think it's called Fruits and Dragons. Dragons and Fruits.
All right.
Fruits and Dragons. That's it.
So medieval fruits.
And but it's pretty good. So his dorkdom, it turns out he said Invincible and the Boys, but he also liked the Injustice universe.
Hmm.
Yes, medieval fruits as well. But he I think you are on satellite delay a little bit, but he liked.
I am.
Did you hear? Okay. So he likes Invincible and the Boys and Injustice universe.
Okay. So he likes the dark heroes. He likes a blood soaked spandex.
I'm telling him that I had read a lot of Invincible when we first got together.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd also read Cavalier and Clay on your recommendation.
Right. Oh, right. Yeah.
But you had never read Cavalier and Clay.
True.
I felt burned.
It just sounded like something you might like is all.
And it was amazing. It was very beautifully written. and we closed on his theory that all superheroes must smell because they only have the one costume.
Ah, right, right, right. Yeah, I always wondered about that when I was a kid. It's like, why do they always wear the same costume? Wouldn't they change costumes periodically? And then they had a few characters that did, like Janet Van Dyne, who was the Wasp. She was a fashion designer, so she was constantly designing herself new costumes.
Right, and Batman has a lot of different costumes, and Iron Man.
Right, right, and he has a butler.
Right, to clean him. And I was thinking the Flash could run through car washes.
At high speed. I don't think that works.
Well, that's true. Maybe Spider-Man would just swing through slowly.
And Spider-Man, and periodically Spider-Man, Peter Parker would complain about his own costume smell.
Okay.
Yeah. Because
he was also a teenage boy.
Right, man. Right. Yeah. And
which
and
is our college. Smelliest time. Yes.
It's true.
But it was a really fun episode. And I just, I think it was interesting. I was looking for, like, why would you like such a flawed character? Why would that be? Because I read superheroes to see the good guys win.
Invincible is not, he is not particularly flawed, Invincible. I mean, he's got his heart in the right spot. He's a teenager. I love teenage superheroes. I stopped reading Invincible because it got a little too gory, sort of gleefully gory.
That's what he was saying. One of the things he likes was the artist, a guy named Oatley.
Oatley, yeah. He's very good. But
dynamic and gory.
Would be like, yes, let's amp up the gore of this story. And I'm like, I like the story. I don't necessarily like the gore.
Victor loves the gore.
Loves
he thinks
the
that
gore.
The gore is drawn so beautifully. But it's very spoilery, this episode, because he does tell me how Invincible ends. And he tells me how the Boys end. And I wanted to know. So
because we're not going to watch the Boys.
Right. And I'm not going to watch Invincible, though he said that there was a very good one-off on Amazon about Adam Eve.
Oh, okay.
So that's what he recommends.
Right, right. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for talking to me. And
of course.
Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?